Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. Jeremiah 2 and verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land where no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that, Lord, you would speak to us from it, help us to recognize you for who you are, and to value and cherish you and all that you offer to us, Lord. And we just pray for our nation. We see what's written here, and it can very much fit our nation today, Lord. And we just pray you would help us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by your word and to follow your truth. But help us that we can set the example that others may see the hope and the blessing that they can find in you, who is the fountain of living waters. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a society today in which many people struggle with dependency. There's a lot of people that are dealing with different issues in life, and in order to cope with their problems, in order to try to find a way to manage things, they rely upon various things nowadays to help get them through the day. We recognize that there's many people that have become dependent upon various substances in order to help them through life, that some may struggle with anxiety, and so they might take some kind of prescription medicine to help them, and that can settle things down a bit. Some, sadly, turn to other things to try to help them to deal with things. I remember guys that I worked with that the one guy, he didn't smoke hardly at all, except when, and we were building these condos, but when we started to put on the rafters, that's when he would start smoking. And of course, he was a tough guy, and he would never try to admit that he was a little bit of scared being up in, at the heights and everything, but that was always, you could tell he was worried, and that's what he did to try to help him calm down so he could stay focused. People sometimes do that if they're nervous in a social situation. They might take a drink or two to try to make themselves feel more at ease, more comfortable, and because they don't want to make a fool of themselves, but then sadly they often take one drink too many and they do make a fool of themselves, and then they feel bad and drink more. And different people have this dependency. We think some, just in order to have energy for the day, that they take different things to kind of perk them up, that Used to just be coffee was all a person would need, but now you have young people taking energy drinks just to kind of give them the boost so that they can get through their day. Some people are dealing with hurts and different pains in life, whether it's grief, whether it's stress, whether it's depression, and they don't know how to deal with the pain or how to handle it, because it's not like a physical pain, it's a more of an emotional or even kind of a soul pain, a heart hurt within. And so they might turn to different drugs to kind of give them an escape from that, where they can be away from that. And they become dependent on the drugs, but the reason why they chose the drugs is because they were in a situation that they couldn't handle, and that's what was readily available. And some, just simply to function in life, they need these things in order to just kind of help them get out of bed, get going, and be able to focus. It's become a serious thing. And with these different things, these substances, some we would say aren't so harmful. Caffeine is something I think we've all used at some point. And it doesn't seem to be that bad and that harmful in many ways, but we recognize there's others that are very harmful, very dangerous. And we realize, even in our community here, that there's many people that struggle with addictions and other things. But as well, we realize there's some that become dependent upon other people, that they rely too heavily on individuals, and we should help and support each other, but it can come out of balance and become a very unhealthy relationship where the person that is trying to help that person feels used and often used up, that this person is always wanting, always being needy and trying to help them, but by enabling them, it isn't making their problem any better. In some ways, it might be making it worse. And when you're in a situation, neither person, either the one that's seeking help or the one that's trying to give help, really is having a good situation going there, and it becomes very difficult. And we can look at this and we say, well, these people struggling with dependency, and there's a lot, and some that we may know that we don't even realize or have a struggle, we would sometimes try to think, well, what is wrong with these people? Why do they just not deal with their problems? Why do they struggle with these things? And we think, well, shouldn't they be able to manage their life on their own? But something that we want to understand is that none of us can manage life on our own. That we are not capable of doing so. If we try to build life all by ourselves, in our own strength, in our own wisdom, we are going to be overwhelmed. Whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether emotionally. We need help. We need support. And the problem is that so often we go to the wrong place to get that support. And we see here in Jeremiah chapter 2 that God is speaking to his people, and we see how he's talking to them about, really, he's been there for them through the past. He's done great things in their nation's history, but yet even as he brought them to this land that was flowing with milk and honey, he allowed them to enjoy great prosperity, that it seems they entirely forgot everything that God did for them, entirely forgot God completely, and have turned to these false gods and to things, it says, that do not profit. And really, we can see things with this of the nation of Israel, that it can very much apply to our nation as well, that we think of through our history of how God is blessed, how God has delivered us through great trials and different things. And when in the midst of those trials, we turned to God and focused upon him and prayed for his help, and he brought us through different things. But then we got to a stage in our history of great prosperity, and a high standard of living. And in many ways, we as a nation forgot about God, forgot that we needed Him. We thought we had all we needed. And we enjoyed great blessings, but we forgot the one that blessed us. And we see in verse 13 that it really kind of lays out what the nation of Israel did. And it's often what we can recognize our society has done. And we can even be guilty of it too in different ways. But it says in verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And in our society today, we recognize that the devil has been hard at work trying to discredit God's word, trying to discredit even the whole belief in there being a God. And so many think, well, God does not exist. Many would think that God, if he does exist, is more of an enemy to us than a friend. And many have this thought, and really blinded by their own pride, that they don't need God, that they look as Christianity is really as being a crutch, that they're strong enough that they don't need that. And the problem is with that, is that they cut themselves off from the source of life that all of us need. And that's what it speaks of, that they've forsaken the fountain of living waters, this source of blessing and sustenance and strength, that they've cut themselves off from that. But the fact is that they still need help. They still need something to help them through life. And God was supposed to be that source of help for them. And because they've been convinced that God isn't real, or God cannot help them, or that they don't want anything to do with that, then they seek after all these other things. And they're these cisterns, these broken cisterns that can hold no water. That people walk after things that do not profit, that don't help them. They're still needy people, and we're all needy people, but they're looking in the wrong place to have those needs met. And that's what we see so much with a lot of these different things that people seek, that not only does it not give them the help they need, not only does it not make their situation better, so often it makes their situation worse. That these things that were readily available, that they grabbed onto thinking it would be the help they needed, now it has become something that has shackled them even worse and can be destroying them physically and mentally. And it's really a sad thing to see, but we recognize that it is because this is true, that they needed God, but they turned from God, and they've turned to these other things instead to replace God, and they've come up short, and they're in a much worse situation. And so it's something that we all need to recognize, that we need God, that all of us are needy people. We don't like to admit it, but it's true, that we can't get through life on our own by our own strength, that we have to have help. And that source of help that we need is God Himself. And the sad thing is that nowadays it seems God is the last thing anybody would ever consider to get the help they need. They might go to different counseling, they might read different self-help books, they might try different things like yoga and meditation and all these other things to try to deal with the struggles they have, when God is near, God is wanting to help. God is ready to help. God has what they need. And people don't realize that. And they struggle along and trying to get water out of these broken cisterns that just can't hold any water. And we see in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 17, it says, "When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." And that's the thing, when we're struggling, when we're needy, when we can't find any solution to our problems ourselves, that when we cry out that the Lord is ready and He will hear the poor and needy, and He's not going to forsake them, He's not going to abandon them, He says, "Yes, I've been waiting for you to come to me. I have what you need to help you through this problem." And so that's the thought, is that we have to recognize our neediness, but we have to also recognize that God is the only one that can really help us, and that we need to become absolutely dependent upon Him. That there's many dependencies that people have that are unhealthy dependencies, but there is a healthy dependency that we all need to learn to have, and that is to be dependent upon God, that we have a relationship with Him that gives us the strength for living. And we think, as Psalm 63 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul longeth for Thee as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." That we realize that there's nothing in this world that's going to give us what we need, but God is going to be the source of life. He is going to be that fountain of living waters. And so we want to consider just different things that we see from the Scriptures of where we need God, and that He is the source of what we need. We think, first of all, that we need God for salvation, for deliverance. There's a lot of different trials and troubles in life, situations that are above us, situations that would overwhelm us, that we don't have the resources to deal with them. And He wants to be a help to us. We see in Isaiah 25, verse 4, speaking of God, says, "For Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." And He brings us deliverance in time of trouble. And we recognize that there's some times where trouble comes and it's not of our making, that things happen, that we just have an adversary that comes against us, or someone that treats us wrong. But there are times as well where some of our issues that come are of our own making, that we kind of get ourselves into a mess, and we got ourselves in deep and we can't get ourselves out of it. And we need to realize that in those situations, God is able to help and He wants to help us. We read in Hosea 13 and verse 9, God says to Israel, He says, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." That even though all that they had done to themselves, and then all the the evil that had come upon them as a consequence for their sin, had brought destruction to them as a nation, He says, "I just want to help you bring you back out of that destruction. I want to deliver you from your own mistakes." And we can be so thankful that He's willing to do that, that He doesn't leave us behind. And it says in Psalm 61 and verse 1 and 2, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That we can have that knowledge of His ability to deliverance. There's going to be times when we are overwhelmed and we can go to Him, that He is our refuge, our strength, our very present help in trouble. But we recognize, in terms of needing God for salvation, yes, there are situations in life that we need deliverance from, but much more than that, we recognize we need His salvation from sin. and many times his salvation from ourselves, that all of us are sinners. All of us disobey God and his commands. All of us mistreat one another, and we can cause a great deal of harm to ourselves, that we bring ourselves under condemnation, and often we can destroy our lives and the lives of those around us by our sins. That because of our sin, we're guilty before God, and it's something where we can look to many different things to try to bring us deliverance from our sin, from its penalty, from its power. That we can try to be very religious. We can try to do a bunch of good deeds to try to somehow cancel out the wrong that we've done. We can even try to do great works that can help other people. And all those things are good things that should be done. But we realize that our good works cannot save us. They will never save us. It is trusting in the work that Jesus did. That if we could save ourselves, Jesus would not have had to come to this earth. He could have said, Jesus, do these things and you'll be saved. And just everyone else, if you're as good as this person is, then you can be saved. But the fact is we have to be as good as Jesus, and none of us are that good. We cannot save ourselves, and so we have to look for him for deliverance. And that comes not simply with forgiveness and deliverance from the penalty of our sin, but also from its power in our daily lives. That where we get different sinful habits that take hold of us, that as they grip us, that we don't have the strength to come out of that. That mentally of having to try to establish new pathways in our mind, it can be very difficult for us. But God wants to provide deliverance to us for that as well. And he can do that. And so often we try to clean up our own act, we try to do better, and we stumble and fall. But where we learn to have a relationship with the Lord, that he enables us to get victory daily over sin in our lives as a Christian. We see in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20, the Lord says this, and speaking in terms of him being our Savior. It says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And we could recognize this is really God's words to the whole world, that he's saying to the people of different nations, like, why are you praying to gods that cannot save you? Gods that are wood and stone, that are false, that cannot help you at all. He's saying, come to me. There's only one Savior, and it's me. And I want you to come and be saved. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's what he calls the world to himself, and he sends us out as his people to preach the gospel to every creature, and that they might see that there is a God that loves them, a God that can deliver them, that all their attempts at being religious or being good, all their seeking after these other sources of salvation will never be enough. That there's only one Savior, and they need to come to the true God that created the heavens and the earth and come to him for salvation and for deliverance. And that's what he wants to do, that we can. It speaks of in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That's what he wants to give us, his redemption, his pardoning of our sins. That he is the judge, that he is the only one that can give us that pardon, that it's not something that we can earn. And so when it's dealing with our sin problem, that in every stage of it, whether it's in terms of the penalty of sin or the power of sin in our life, that we can't fix it, and we have to be dependent upon Him and what He has done for us in order to get that deliverance and that victory. But as well with that, we also need God through our daily life for His strength. Because life always has with it different challenges that are too much for us. That we look at a problem and we think it over and we just say, I don't know how to solve this. That a lot of what's going on is totally out of our hands. We think of world events that are happening around us. We think of political scene and decisions that are made and that will affect us, but yet we seem to have no real say in them, no real control. And as well, there's burdens of life that are too much for us to shoulder. Different people that we're trying to help, different people we care for that are going astray, different struggles that we have, different stresses that come into our lives, and we can try to handle them ourselves. We can try to be as strong as we can be, but we're always going to get to a point where it's too much for us. And it's kind of something where, especially when we're younger, we think we can handle it. But we see what's spoken of in Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning verse 28, it says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That even those that are young, that have a great deal of physical strength and stamina, it'll come to a point where they're going to wear out and faint and not be able to handle all that is coming. But it's a thought that those that are weary, that those that have no might, those that are recognizing their weakness and seek the Lord and wait upon Him, that God gives them strength so that they can do what they never thought possible before. And that's really what God is trying to teach us so many times. And we think of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, how he had this infirmity of the flesh that he asked God to remove from him. And God said, no, I want you to have it. And he says, why? Because he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul realized that he needed to glory in his infirmities, in his weaknesses, because when he was weak, then he was strong. And that sort of doesn't seem to make sense to us on the initial look at it. We would think it'd be paradoxical, but the fact is when we recognize that we are weak, and then we learn to turn to God in strength, that He gives us the power that we need so that we can get through that trial, that we can carry that load through life. And it's when we try to pretend that we can handle it, where we act, well, I'm tough, I can get through this, that's when we don't look to God for help, and that's when we're going to falter. And it's in many ways that as we get older and we start to lose our physical strength, that we can actually grow so much stronger in our faith and in our walk with the Lord, because we get to realize, I can't do this anymore myself. I tried, and now I know that I can. And so I'm going to turn to God for the strength I need, and we find He gives us that strength. That it speaks of in Isaiah 26 and verse 4, Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, that He is a source of strength that never runs out. And we can go to Him. We think of Philippians chapter 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That we have that source of strength through life where we're not alone and we don't need to try to do it alone. That we're never intended to live life without help. That God is the help that we need. He's ready there to help us. And so we can learn to turn to Him and to be sustained, to be strengthened, to be empowered, so that through life that it isn't where we're struggling and overstressed and overfatigued, but instead that our strength is renewed and we can do what we need to do through the day. But then as well, finally, we want to consider the thought that we need God not only for our salvation, not only for strength, but also for satisfaction in life. Because we can pursue after many things in life, and we see that all around us. People have many pursuits, and they assume following after this is going to give them satisfaction. Some, it might be a certain amount of success or status or fame, or maybe it's just a matter of getting to a certain standard of living, and they think, well, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be satisfied, life will be good when I get to this point. And so many happens as they do that, they get to the point that they thought would bring them contentment and happiness, and they find that it didn't come. We think of that with Solomon in Ecclesiastes, that really that's the whole message of the book of Ecclesiastes, that he sought after all these different things to enrich himself. He was great, speaks of in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He was increased more than all that were before him. If it was a competition of who would have the most stuff, he won that. And he says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor, that he'd done all these things and thought that this would bring happiness to him. But it says, verse 11, that I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. That he thought following after these things would bring joy and satisfaction, but it didn't. He testifies in Ecclesiastes 5, in verse 10, he says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. That we find that again and again, that there is so many in our lives that pursue after things, pursue after status, and they never find satisfaction. And it's because they're looking in the wrong place. And they want to find, they need to find the one that is the fountain of living waters once again. But they continue to seek water out of these broken cisterns that are no help to them. It says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And the question is given, verse 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? And that is a question, that why do so many spend so much of their money and their resources and their time and their energies pursuing after things that don't satisfy? That doesn't it make sense to pursue after something that will? And we see here that it's like we don't have to pay money. We don't have to be spending things in that sense to find the satisfaction that we need in God. That he's saying, I am offering you myself for free. You don't have to pay for it. That I've already really made the payment for you to be blessed and to be satisfied in life. And so many, sadly, just turn from God and seek satisfaction in other things, and they never find it. We see in Psalm 145 and verse number 16, It says of God, Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And it says we look to Him that we find the satisfaction that we need. Psalm 107 and verse number 9 says, Well, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And so it's the thought that we even find other places in the scriptures where God says to us, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. That he says, I have what you need. I have what you're seeking for in life. That you can find true joy and fulfillment and satisfaction if you pursue after me. That's what he wants us to do. That to seek him, and when we find him, we realize in him is everything we've ever sought for, anything we've ever desired for. And all these other things that we have thought would bring us joy and fulfillment and satisfaction have been empty. And so it calls us back again to him, that he is the one that I need. I am only going to find true satisfaction in him. And so as believers, it's something that we need to recognize our neediness and be willing to admit that, and recognize that it's God who is the one that we need more than anything else. And we don't want to have a dependency on substances or on other people in a harmful relationship, but we can have a very healthy dependency, what we've been designed to have, and that is a dependency on God. And we want to learn to look to Him and to nothing and no one else to find the deliverance we need, to find the strength we need, and to find true satisfaction. And as we look to Him and we find in Him all that we desire, and He gives us the strength that we need, then we realize, I want others to know this too, that there's so many around me that they're searching, they're needy people, but they don't know the source of their provision for that need. They've been deceived into thinking that God does not exist or that He cannot help them or doesn't want to help them where He is ready and willing and able to help them. And so we want to go and tell people, I understand what you're seeking after, but you're looking in all the wrong places. If you look for God, if you seek God Himself with all your heart, you will find Him. And once you've found Him, you will say, why did I ever go anywhere else? He is all that I have ever needed. And so may the Lord help us to be dependent on God and to share the message that others can find what they need in Him. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn.